KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly sunny, 65 degrees, looking for sunny skies today with a high around 90. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. Topping state news, topsoil in more than half of Iowa's fields still needs more rain to reach adequate levels. The U.S. Department of Agriculture said in yesterday's weekly report that topsoil in 54% of Iowa's fields rated very short or short of adequate moisture. The east central part of the state was the driest, with 78% of the topsoil moisture rated short to very short. The USDA said 68% of the corn crop, which is silking in most parts of the state, is in good or excellent condition. The soybean crop is rated 63% good to excellent. The USDA report said 98% of the state's oat crop has headed, which is nearly 3 weeks ahead of normal progression. I'll have a look at some local news coming up next.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable, no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
Well, beginning July the 2nd and continuing through July the 8th, law enforcement in Iowa and across the nation will step up their enforcement efforts to curtail impaired driving during the Independence Day holiday week as part of the ongoing Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over crackdown. The goal is to find and arrest impaired drivers who put themselves and others at risk. During last year's four-day STEP or Special Traffic Enforcement Program wave, law enforcement officers made 455 drunken driving contacts with more than 12,700 traffic violations reported by over 225 law enforcement agencies across the state. During the official three-day holiday, six fatalities occurred on Iowa's roads. Iowa law enforcement agencies across the state are strongly urging all motorists to buckle up, slow down, and if you decide to drink, be responsible and designate a sober driver so everyone can enjoy a safe 4th of July holiday. The goal, of course, is to make the roads safer for everyone. For more information on the National Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over mobilization, go to www.nhtsa.gov. Officials of the American Red Cross's Midwest Blood Services region based in Omaha are putting out an emergency call for blood donors. Tricia Quinn, CEO of the organization's Midwest Blood Services region, said the blood supply has reached emergency levels, with fewer than 50,000 donations than expected so far this month. The shortfall, she says, leaves the Red Cross with half the readily available blood products on hand now than the same time last year. All eligible blood donors, especially those with O-positive, O-negative, B and A negative types of blood, are encouraged to roll up their sleeves and give the gift of life. Even though those are the most needed types, all blood types will be accepted, especially in preparation for the upcoming 4th of July holiday. You can call 800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org to make an appointment or for more information. Some of the upcoming blood donation opportunities for you would include in Pottawatomie County on today from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m., and that's at the Luss Hills Chapter Donation Center at 705 North 16th Street. Also in Pott County at that same location on June the 30th from 6:30 a.m. until noon. Other dates are available in July. Here in Cass County, there's an opportunity for you to donate blood June the 28th at the Wesley Heritage House from 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. In Shelby County, tomorrow from noon until 6 at St. Mary's School in Panama. And on July the 10th at the Veterans Memorial Building from 11:30 a.m. until 5:30 p.m. More than 700 members of the tourism industry have voted Iowa's Luss Hills region as the best of the West in the category of watchable wildlife. Nominations were solicited in nine categories on the Western Iowa Tourism Region's website, SurveyMonkey, emails, and community announcements. The winners were announced during the WITR's annual meeting in Wall Lake. The Lost Hills region received 150 nominations and 798 votes. Shirley Phillips, president of the Western Iowa Tourism Region and director of the Sac County Economic Development Office, said in a press release that tourism is a proven economic driver for Iowa, generating more than $6 billion in revenue and more than 62,000 jobs. The 200-member WITR organization works to connect communities, attractions, and businesses interested in developing and promoting tourism and travel here in Western Iowa. WITR is funded by the Iowa Economic Development Authority, county boards of supervisors in the region, and private memberships from chambers of commerce and other organizations. Regional bi-monthly meetings, which are held throughout the 36-county area, are open to the public. For more information, go to www.visitwesterniowa.com. Iowa Republican Governor Terry Branstad will make a couple of stops in the southwest part of the state this week. Branstad is scheduled to be in Lenox this afternoon at 4 o'clock for a tour of Michael's Foods Incorporated. And on Wednesday, he's scheduled to attend the Governor's Volunteer Awards ceremony, and that'll be at the Western Historic Trails Center in Council Bluffs at 3434 Richard Downing Avenue, beginning at 3 o'clock. Details about that Council Bluffs event are available at www.volunteeriowa.org/awards. Elsewhere in the news, the Secretary of the Navy was in Sioux City this past weekend for the naming ceremony for the first ship ever to carry the Western Iowa City's name. Secretary Ray Mabus spoke at City Hall ceremony and paid tribute to the actions of Sioux City Medal of Honor recipient Colonel Bud Day.
That's the kind of character that the people of this city, that Sioux City has exemplified, and that's the kind of character that will sail in the USS Sioux City.
The USS Sioux City is what's called a littoral combat ship and is designed to be able to switch its setup to do many things.
Right now we've got three mission modules. We've got an anti-surface, an anti-submarine, and an anti-mine, but a lot more are in development and a lot more are on the way. So when the mission changes, all she has to do is pull in, you take out one module, you put in another, and she'll be ready to go.
The new ship will be fast with a top speed of 40 knots. Construction is set to begin next year with completion by 2016. Mabus said the USS Sioux City is part of an effort to build the fleet back to levels that were seen around 9/11.
We're going to grow the fleet to 300 ships by 2019. Since December of 2010, we have put 40 ships under contract, and that compares to three that happened in 2008. This is going to allow us to protect America.
Mabus said the fleet had shrunk to 283 ships since 9/11, and they're able to rebuild it using fixed-price contracts and better competition from bidders. Another ship in the same class as the USS Sioux City will be named the USS Omaha. Elsewhere in state news, state and local officials are investigating a house fire in eastern Iowa that's left one person dead. Johnson County Sheriff Lonnie Polkrebeck said his office received a report Monday of a house fire in Swisher, which is about 10 miles north of Iowa City. Polkrebeck said a witness who went to check on the house found a deceased individual inside and that it appeared a fire had occurred before going out on its own. Polkrebeck said the name of the victim was not being released pending notification of family members. His office is working with the state fire marshal's office and Johnson County Medical Examiner on that investigation. Authorities say a man has been reported missing after falling from a boat on the Mississippi River in Dubuque. The third search for the victim was suspended late last night and was expected to resume today. Authorities say the man fell out of a speeding boat at around 6 p.m., but the boat kept going for miles down the river until it was stopped. The man fell out just south of Lock and Dam No. 11. Police Captain Jim Lemke said officials think they know who the victim is. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources is expected to investigate that incident. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, roads in the Tampa Bay, Florida area are washed out and parts of Interstate 10 in North Florida are closed off because of flooding. It's not likely to let up for at least a few days as Tropical Storm Debbie is moving at a snail's pace over the Gulf of Mexico. Up to 2 feet of rain could fall in some places. Many areas of the interior west are dealing with another day of above 100-degree heat as firefighters struggle to get an upper hand on wildfires throughout the region. Much of Nevada, Utah, Wyoming, and Colorado are under a red flag warning, meaning conditions are hot, dry, and ripe for fires, as moisture is being sapped from trees and grass. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice said she has no interest in being Mitt Romney's vice presidential running mate. Rice told CBS This Morning program that she didn't run for student council president. She doesn't see herself in any way in elective office. And Rice said that Romney will pick a strong running mate and she'll support the ticket. And Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation reportedly is considering splitting its publishing and entertainment businesses into two companies. The Wall Street Journal reports that a split would put the 20th Century Fox film business and the Fox TV networks into a separate company from News Corp's newspaper and book publishing businesses. A final decision has not yet been made. News time is 8:10.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Carrie Schmidt, age 87, of Audubon, died Thursday at Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Carrie Schmidt will be this morning at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Laura B. Nelson, age 89, of Exira, died Saturday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Laura Nelson will be this afternoon at 3 o'clock at Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Merrill George Stoles, age 95, of Harlan, died Friday at the Elmcrest Retirement Home. A massive Christian burial service for Merrill Stoles will be held Wednesday at 10:30 at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Bonnie J. Wright, age 76, of Menlo, died Sunday at her home. Funeral services for Bonnie Wright will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Darlene Dolores Callender, age 86, of Harlan, died Saturday at the Elmcrest Retirement Home. Funeral services for Darlene Callender will be on Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Darwin Turk, age 68, of Lewis, died Monday at his home. Funeral services for Darwin Turk will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Bonnie J. Knoll, age 81, of Audubon, died Friday at the Audubon County Hospital. Graveside services for Bonnie Knoll will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Concord Cemetery in Concord, Nebraska. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Henry Gayson, Sr., age 87, died Saturday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home in Erling. Funeral services for Henry Gayson, Sr. are pending at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. And Kay Laverne Hamlin, age 72, of Atlantic, died Friday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Kay Hamlin are pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.